for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.
Saturday evening, December 28, 1985. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother Joe Popel is the minister of the evening.
We'll turn the balance of the evening to whatever the Lord leads Brother Popel to minister, and he will close the service. If he needs someone to play or sing anything, he can tell us, and we'll do that at the appropriate time, but the rest of the evening for Brother Popel to minister as the Lord leads him and moves upon him to do.
Well, it's so good to see all of you here tonight. I think that it has been about 10 years since I had seen Brother and Sister Miller. It's really good to see these dear folks, and the Lord is just keeping them perpetually young. Well, isn't he great?
Amen.
Praise God. Sister Miller mentioned something about tapes and the power of tapes, and that's true. Things can happen by people just listening to tapes. Several years ago, I was in a meeting in Shreveport, and Senator Bill Keith, who was then a state senator in Louisiana, and who is a Methodist man, attended the meeting, and he was prayed for, and the Lord healed him of something. And on the way out, he got one of our tapes and took it home to his wife, because his wife was at home sick in bed. And his wife listened to this tape, and I had mentioned something about the Lord miraculously healing people's teeth. And Mrs. Keith, Methodist lady, said, "I believe that God does things like that." And he said later that she listened to it all the next day. And the following morning, she got up and discovered that a cavity in one of her molar teeth had been filled, miraculously filled. The pastor whom he was telling that to said, "Senator, you better be careful, or some of your colleagues will think that you're really out there on a limb." Because, you know, he was, if you know anything about politics in Louisiana, you probably know something about Senator Keith. And he was really trying to get prayer back in the schools, and he was pushing for the things of God. And this pastor said, "You better watch out, or some of your colleagues will really think that you're far out there." And Senator Keith said, "That's all right. I'll just invite them to come home with me and look at my wife's tooth." The Lord has permitted me to be in many interesting places and interesting situations. As I've said before, I just thank God that He let me be there at that time when He did some of the wonderful things that He has done. I was down in Guyana shortly after the Jonestown tragedy. And the Lord did some wonderful things in meetings there. And in this one meeting at the Pegasus Hotel, we had prayed for people, and then we just had a general prayer. And after the general prayer, different ones began to give their testimony who were not prayed for personally and individually at all, but they just stood up in the general prayer. Two ladies gave testimony that the Lord miraculously filled their teeth when they stood up. There's one gentleman standing way back in the back, and he gave a testimony, and he said, "I was blind." He was blind in both of his eyes. And he said, "I just put my fingers on my eyes when you prayed." And he said, "Afterwards, I could see." He said, "I can see everything." He said, "I can see you up there." He said, "I knew that God was going to do it. I knew that God was going to do it." The last night that we were there, we were having a meeting out at the stadium in Georgetown. And I had come out of the room and came down on the elevator to go to the meeting. And just as I stepped out of the elevator, someone approached me and told me that Prime Minister Forbes Burnham had called from his country home. and wanted to know if I could stay over and meet with him the next day. And I really considered that to be an honor and a privilege, but I had a meeting scheduled in Lafayette, Louisiana, and there wasn't any way that I could have stayed over and met with the Prime Minister and been to Lafayette in time for the meeting. And if I tell someone that I'm going to be someplace for a meeting, I try to be there. In 1975, I was on an airlift for the Full Gospel Businessmen to Italy, 1974 and 1975. But in 1975, I was with a group in Foggia, Italy, which is on the Mediterranean coast. We had begun meetings in a small church, and from the very first night, I had to turn people away because they didn't have room for them. So we made arrangements to get into the largest meeting hall in Foggia, and it also proved to be too small from the very first night. But this auditorium would be packed with people, and they would stand up for hours. Young people would sit on the floor. One of the unusual things that happened was concerning a young woman who had a lot of physical problems, and we prayed specifically for some of those problems, and then we just prayed a prayer over her general condition. The next night we came back to the meeting hall and were told that this young woman had grown a lower set of teeth overnight. When they stood up, the ones stood up who were giving testimony, who had been healed the night before, this young woman stood up. She looked so differently. She had a beautiful smile on her face, and the teeth looked so straight and white and beautiful. And we hadn't even prayed for teeth. And I thought maybe the Lord had just healed her gums and now she was able to wear her dentures. And I asked the interpreter, and he said, no. He said the Lord gave her those teeth. And afterwards, her father came upon the platform and gave a testimony and got pretty excited, like Italians do get sometimes. And he said that he was just about ready to remove his dentures and believe God to give him a set of teeth. In 1977, I was at a charismatic conference at Duquesne University, and Mr. Pentecost was there at that particular conference. President Carter's sister, Miss Stapleton, was there, among others, at that particular conference. And after I had ministered this one night, ministered to people personally and individually, we had a general prayer, as we usually do. And then right afterwards, my wife and I left with one of the men who was one of the sponsors of this conference. We went out to eat something. Later we found out that there was a young woman who had been born blind, totally blind in both of her eyes. She had never even seen light, not even the light of day. And then sometime afterwards, they surgically removed both of her eyeballs and she had two plastic eyes. She had wanted to be prayed for personally. I didn't even know she was there. But Jesus knew she was there. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus knows things when we don't? He knew that she was there. And she stood up in the general prayer. And later, as she was going out of the meeting with the lady who was there with her, as they were walking through the door, she discovered that she could see for the first time in her life. And the next afternoon, she was in a meeting in which I was teaching, and she was seeing even more, telling what she could see. Sometime after that, I was talking with a man long distance up in the Pittsburgh area, and he was telling me that he had been to a meeting where an attorney who had become a Presbyterian minister, who had been keeping in touch with this young woman to find out about her progress, was giving a progress report on this young woman whom God had performed this wonder and sign on, and who was seeing through two plastic eyes. And you know, if God could do that, I'm sure that your case isn't too hard for him. Amen? Now, Jesus didn't say that all things are possible to the mocker, the doubter, or the skeptic. He said all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, if you don't believe, you can't expect God to do it because he only promised these things to them that believe. Of course, I didn't even know anything about that, but that young woman was believing and God honored her faith. But God absolutely can do anything. Anything but fail. I was in one meeting in Chicago with Henry Carlson. in that old building where they used to have the boxing arena. And after we had had the general prayer, there was a lady in the back who got very excited. And I decided that I should ask her what had happened. And I invited her to come down to the front. And she told us that the Lord had grown a tooth in the front part of her mouth. It grew out all the way, all the way. And she gave us the name of her dentist. And she said, "My dentist can tell you that I do not have a tooth in that part of my mouth." Janine M. Sturmick. And that was in 1976. And the next night, Brother Demas Shakarian was in Chicago, and he was speaking at a full gospel businessmen's dinner meeting. And he told me that he was going to cut his speaking short, and he asked me to minister to several people. And I told about this lady, not knowing that she was there, but a lady over in the corner raised her hand and said, "I'm here, I'm here, I'm here." The Lord had grown a new front tooth in her mouth, and of course the teeth had begun to come together where the tooth had been out for so long. And sometime later I was back up in Chicago, and I asked how many people were there when that happened, and one lady raised her hand and she said, "I saw that lady's tooth." And she said, "I'm a dental technician," and she must have been a prosthetic technician from what she said. And she said that the teeth had begun to come closer together. And she said, "If I had been going to make a tooth for that woman's mouth, I would have made one just like the one that the Lord put in her mouth." Amen. Well, he's great. Amen. I was in a meeting in Los Angeles a few months ago. We prayed for a young man who had cancer of the lymph glands, cancer throughout his body. He had a growth or swelling on the right side of his neck, protrusion. He was wearing a brace or support around the mid part of his body because the doctor thought that the cancer had gone into his spine, and he was suffering very much, and he was wearing this brace to help to eliminate part of the pain that he'd been suffering with. We prayed for him and asked Jesus to touch him and heal him, this cancerous condition. And afterwards he said that the pain was gone, and he felt of his neck and he couldn't feel the growth or the swelling. It had gone down. And then he removed the brace which he had been wearing around the mid part of his body and bent over and touched the floor a number of times without any pain whatsoever. After the meeting was over, I was standing out by the tape stand, and a gentleman walked up to me and was talking with me and told me that he had invited that young man to the meeting. He said that he wasn't a Christian, but before he left the meeting, he accepted Jesus and invited Jesus to come into his heart and into his life. I'll tell you, that's the greatest miracle of all. That's the greatest miracle of all. The miracle of a life being transformed by the power of God. I was in a meeting in Rahway, New Jersey in August, and we prayed for a lady who had Parkinson's disease. She had a difficult time walking, and she had fallen down and hurt one arm and one shoulder, and she told me that she only had about 50% of the use of that shoulder and arm since she had fallen and hurt herself. And we asked Jesus to heal her of the Parkinson's disease and heal her arm and heal her shoulder. And afterwards, she got up. She determined that she had new strength. And not only did she walk without any difficulty, but just to prove that Jesus had given her a miracle, she ran down the aisle. Hallelujah. And ran back. Didn't have any problem. Only the Lord could do something like that. Only Jesus could do it. And whatever is done here tonight will be Jesus who does it. I couldn't do it, but the Lord can do it. And He said that He would do it if we would only believe. So I want to encourage you tonight. Be reaching out with your faith and be believing Jesus. Many times people have been healed just sitting in the meetings. And Then many times people have been healed in the general prayer, as I mentioned before. So let's believe the Lord tonight, whatever your condition in particular may be. Let's just be believing God that He's going to touch him. He knows who you are. He knows what your name is. He knows where you're sitting. He wants very much to touch you and heal you and make you whole. He came into the world to save the whole man. He wants your whole man to be saved. Regardless of the fact that you may have a condition which may have been pronounced to be incurable by medical science, the Lord wants you to be made whole by His power. I was just in a meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, just recently, and just before Christmas, and we prayed for a lady who said that she had had several operations on her gums. She had a lot of problem with her gums and her teeth, and she had several operations. She still had a problem. I think that she had one tooth that needed a root canal, or she'd had a root canal and it was still giving her a problem. Her teeth were loose, very loose. And we prayed, and afterwards her teeth began to tighten up. She determined to change. And later she came back to the tape stand where I was standing and she was talking with me. She told me that she was Southern Baptist, and she came to the meeting because her boss had invited her to the meeting. He was attending that church. She was a car sales lady. And she was telling me that she was Southern Baptist. And she was back there pushing on her teeth with her finger, and they were perfectly tight. It was absolutely amazing what our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth had done in the behalf of that dear lady. Don't you love Him? And aren't you glad that He so loved us? He so loved us. That's the reason we're here tonight, because of Jesus, because of the love of God. We're here because of Him. And we want to reach out, we want to touch Him, we want to believe Him to meet people's needs.
Hallelujah.
I would like to speak to you for a little while from the Holy Scriptures, taking a text in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and the 11th verse. And the scriptures say, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now God has declared that His word should not return unto Him void. He has declared that when His word goes forth, that it's going to accomplish something. When the word of God goes forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and when people hear the word of God as it goes forth, something is going to happen. The person will either believe it, receive it, and be blessed and benefited by it, or else they will disbelieve it, reject it, and suffer the consequences thereof. But God has declared that His word should not return unto Him void. Now, many times, people who are just sitting out in the audience listening to the word of God are unaware of the effect that the word of God is having upon their being spiritually, mentally, and physically. Many times people are unaware of the impact that the Word of God is having upon them. But it has its effect spiritually, mentally, and physically. During the month of January, I was in a meeting in Palm Springs, California, and one night I was just preaching the Word of God. Weren't praying for anybody. That time, just preaching the Word of God. There was a lady sitting out in the audience who was listening intently to the Word of God as it was going forth. This lady had a large cavity in one of her molar teeth, and she was so surprised to discover that while she was listening to the Word of God, cavity had just miraculously closed up. She no longer had a cavity. Jesus had filled that tooth in her mouth. The Word of God has its effect as it goes forth. And in the book of James, the first chapter and the 21st verse, the Scripture saith, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Now, if people would just lay aside the filthiness of the flesh and the superfluity of naughtiness and would receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, it is all powerful and all sufficient to save the individual soul, to transform the individual's life, to bring the individual into a new birth experience, to bring the person into a new spiritual dimension of living, to give the person a hope which they never before possessed. We are even to be born of the Word of God. In the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter and the 23rd verse, the Scripture saith, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." We are to live in the Word of God, and the Word of God is to live within us. Our thinking, our speech, and our actions are to be motivated by the Word of God. The places that we go and the things that we do should be motivated by the Word of God. The Word of God is to become an integral part of our very being. And when the Word of God becomes an integral part of our very being, then we should be able to reach out and grasp the promises of God in such a way that those wonderful promises shall be fulfilled in our behalf. And in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, the Scripture saith, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God is powerful to save, powerful to heal, and powerful to deliver. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. I was in a meeting in Glendale, California this year, and a gentleman came forward for prayer who had a growth in his pancreas. The doctor said that it was inoperable. He could not operate. The man had been in constant pain for about 6 years. But when he was prayed for, Jesus performed surgery on that man's pancreas. The pain instantly left. I have seen that gentleman on occasions since that time, and he has not had any more pain whatsoever from that condition. The Word of God is sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. When the surgeons of this world declare that a person's condition is inoperable, it would just be too dangerous to operate. They couldn't afford to take the chance. The person might not make it through the surgery. The Word of God will perform the most delicate surgery and will not endanger the person's life in any way whatsoever. And what's more, it won't even leave a scar. Praise God. This is the Word that has created the vast universe. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse. The scripture saith, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, when God made the worlds, He didn't strain, struggle, fret, or try hard. He simply spoke the Word of God, and the powerful Word of God created and brought the vast universe into existence. Now, when God made the worlds, He didn't make the worlds out of something which already existed. He made the worlds out of nothing. He spoke the Word, and the powerful Word of God created and brought the worlds into existence. God specializes in taking nothing and making something out of it. He can take a person's nothingness and make something out of it in order that that person's need in particular shall be met. In one meeting in Toronto, Ontario, we prayed for a lady who was totally deaf in one of her ears. She had had surgery. The bones of the inner ear had been surgically removed. The hearing nerve condition had been surgically removed. The eardrum and everything necessary to hearing had been surgically removed. She had nothing to hear within that ear. And she had also lost her sense of equilibrium. And she said, I just know that people think that I'm drinking at times because of the way that I stagger. When she was prayed for, we asked our wonderful Lord Jesus to perform a creative miracle and to create bones of the inner ear, the hearing nerve condition, the eardrum, and whatever needed to be created. Well, after prayer, we couldn't see in that lady's ear, but with her other ear stopped up, she could hear normally. She could hear everything. And she also discovered that her sense of equilibrium had been restored. Sometime later, we were back up in Toronto, and this lady was in the meeting, and she gave a testimony, and 3 different medical doctors had examined her and verified that everything that they had surgically removed from her ear was back in her ear. Everything. Sometime after that, I was in her hometown, which was about 50 miles from Toronto. I can't remember the name of the little town just now. But she gave a testimony, and she said at that time that she could hear better in that ear than she could in the other ear. Isn't that amazing? God created the bones, created the eardrum, created the hearing nerve condition, whatever needed to be created, and put hearing in that dear lady's ear. Several years ago, I was in a meeting at the Holiday Inn in Billings, Montana. And this one night, I had asked people who had been healed in the meeting to stand up and give a testimony. One lady in the back stood up. I didn't remember that lady, but she began to give a testimony. And she said, when you and your wife were here 12 years ago, and I remembered that very well, because we had flown in from San Francisco. We had California clothing, and they announced over the loudspeaker just before we landed that it was 17 degrees below zero. We were there for 5 weeks. There was ice and snow on the ground the whole 5 weeks that we were there, so I remembered that very well. But this lady said, I was healed of cancer of the female organs. And she said, and some of the female organs had been surgically removed. And she said, the doctor has it in writing in his office where those organs that were surgically removed are back in my body. Only Jesus could do something like that. A creative miracle through the power of faith in the living Word of God. Friends, this Word is true. This Word is powerful. This Word isn't a secular word. This Word is God's Word. This Word is God's Word of truth, and it is enough for us to believe in, to stand upon, and to hope in. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, or I beg your pardon, the first chapter, and the third verse, the Scripture saith that the Lord upholdeth all things by the word of His power. It's the Word of God that upholds this vast universe. It's the Word of God that causes night to follow day. The Word of God causes the sun to shine, the moon to glow, and the stars to twinkle. It's the Word of God that causes this vast universe to function in such an intelligible and orderly manner as it does. The Word of God prevents the heavenly bodies from leaving their respective orbits and colliding with one another, and thereby bringing about a universal catastrophical event. Now, if the Word of God is so powerful that it causes this vast universe to function in such an intelligible and orderly manner day after day and year after year, then certainly the Word of God is powerful enough to cause human beings to function in the manner that they should function spiritually, mentally, and physically. You know, there are some people that just can't seem to hold themselves together. Some people are having to make a steady path to the psychiatrist's office just to keep going. And some people haven't been able to keep going. They have had to be committed to a mental hospital or mental institution. But the Word of God will cause a person to function spiritually, mentally, and physically the way that that person should function, the way that God would have that person to function, and in such a manner that peace, joy, and contentment shall reside in that person's heart and life. In the book of John, the 6th chapter and the 63rd verse, the Scripture saith, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now, I know that many times the Word of God is presented from the pulpits over the land as a mere dead letter word, and people hear it as a mere dead letter word, and it produces dead letter results. But the Word of God is not a mere dead letter word. It is alive with the life of God Himself. John 6 and 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Word of God embodies God's omnipotence. All that God ever was, all that God is today, all that God ever shall be is embodied in His Word. That is why creative miracles transpire. That is why short limbs grow out. That is why things happen which could not otherwise happen, because the Word of God is alive. It is alive with the life of God Himself. You know, we have something precious in the Word of God. I know that many times there are those individuals who use the Bible as a mere ornament on some particular table or place in the home and seldom ever pick it up to read it. But God doesn't want us to just use the Bible as a mere ornament in the home. He wants us to take advantage of this Word. There were people in communist countries over in Europe and different places who do not have the freedom to read and study the Word of God and hear the Word of God as we do today. But some of those individuals would give all that they have just to have the Word of God and to have what we have today in the Word of God. We should take advantage of this privilege and this opportunity that we have to study the Word of God, to search out the Holy Scriptures, to put our faith in that which God has spoken, because this is not man's word. It is God's word. And God, in His faithfulness, will perform that which He has spoken and said that He would do. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And in the book of John 1:1, the Scripture saith, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the book of John 1:14, the Scripture saith, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth in a visible physical form and spoke to the eyes of the blind, they had to receive sight. They had no alternative but to receive sight. It was the Word of God who created the vast universe speaking through lips of flesh. When Jesus spoke to the ears of the deaf and the tongues of the dumb, and when Jesus spoke to the lame, they had no alternative but to receive speech, to receive hearing. And the lame had to rise up and begin to walk. The living Word of God that created the vast universe was speaking through lips of flesh. Jesus is the living Word of God, and the Holy Bible is the written Word of God. The written Word of God is just as powerful as the living Word of God, but it does not become effectual in its powerful working in our behalf until we believe it, receive it, and act upon it with our faith. A person will not experience salvation until they believe, receive, and act upon the Word of God with their faith. When a person believes, receives, and acts upon the Word of God with their faith, they will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When a person believes, receives, and acts upon the Word of God with their faith, they will be divinely healed according to the promise of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So God wants us to act our faith upon His Word. Amen. And when we act our faith upon His Word, it becomes effectual in its powerful working in our behalf. Things begin to happen. And in the book of Psalms 119:89, the Scripture saith, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, sometimes people question the will of God. Sometimes, many times, I've asked people if they believe that God would heal them, and when they came up for prayer, and they would say, well, if it is His will. So it was very clear to me that they did not have a knowledge concerning the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God. And the Bible declares that the Word of God is eternally and forever settled in heaven. As far as God is concerned, it is already done, or it is as good as done, or the provision has been made. But we must act upon the Word of God with our faith in order that this provision shall materialize in our behalf, and that we should be able to realize that which God has promised and which He wants very much to do in the behalf of His dear children. Now, when a person begins to act upon the Word of God, they may not see any change in their condition or their situation immediately. They might, or on the other hand, they might not. The face of the mountain, whether it be a mountain of sickness and disease, a mountain of circumstances, or whatever, may appear to be the very same after the person has prayed or has been prayed for, and after the person has stood upon the Word of God, stood upon the promise of God. They may not be able to determine any change in the face of that mountain. But you know, if that individual could just slip around to the back side of that mountain and take a look at what is happening, they would see that the Word of God is hammering away and chiseling away at the backside of that mountain. And even though they can't see any change from the face of the mountain is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker as the individual stands upon the Word of God, and as the individual activates his or her faith in the Word of God, that mountain is becoming weaker, and after a while, it will just topple over, and the individual shall be able to walk over it and shout the high praises of God. Now, you may have been praying about something in particular. You may have been prayed for. You may have been standing upon the Word of God. You may have been earnestly seeking the face of God, but you haven't seen any change as of yet. Don't become discouraged. Discouragement is one of the greatest weapons that the devil uses against the people of God and the children of men. Don't be discouraged. If you're standing upon the Word of God, something is happening even though the face of your mountain may appear to be the same. The Word of God is chiseling away at the backside of your mountain. And after a while, just as sure as you continue to have your faith activated and you're standing upon the Word of God and you're reaching out and you're holding on to this promise of God, after a while, that mountain is going to topple over and you're going to be able to walk over it and shout the high praises of God from the very depth of your innermost being. In the book of Psalms 138:2, the scripture saith, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now, sometimes some people seem to think that God has just spoken a lot of words promiscuously, that he has made a lot of rash promises, and that he has gone away to some far-off place called heaven, and that he has forgotten to be gracious, to perform his word, and to do that which he said that he would do. But that is not true. The Bible declares that God has magnified his word above his very name. He's given his word an exalted place above his very name. He watches over his word to keep it and to perform it and to bring it about in the behalf of them that believe it and act upon it with their faith. Now, if God has so magnified his word, how much should you and I magnify the word of God today? We should study the word of God. We should honor the word of God. We should cherish the word of God. We should cleave the Word of God unto our very being and refuse to let it go from us, because it will be healing in a time of sickness, deliverance in a time of trouble, food on the table in a time of famine. It will be a shadow from the heat and a shelter from the storm. If we will honor God's Word, God will honor us. If we will keep God's Word, then God's Word will keep us in our day of adversity. If we will keep God's Word will keep us in our day of adversity. And in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter and the 29th verse, the scripture saith, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" God's word is even as a consuming fire. It will burn out the tin and the dross and everything that is unlike Jesus in the person's life, and will present that individual as a suitable subject for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The word of God as a burning fire will burn out the sickness or disease is no longer there. And the Word of God will promote healing and health in the individual's body. The Word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It will beat away at that obstacle. It will beat away at your obstacle, whatever the obstacle may be, until that obstacle is completely overcome and you are completely victorious in that situation through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, he said that he made us conquerors. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. I think that it should have been enough had he just stopped by saying that we were conquerors. But he didn't stop there. He said that we're more than conquerors. God always gives his people a super abundance to make it over or to go through or to undertake or whatever needs to be done in the situation. God gives a super abundance in that situation. Can you say praise the Lord? And in the book of Luke 24 and 19, the scripture saith that Jesus was mighty in deed and in word. And in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter and the 32nd verse, the scripture saith, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now, Jesus didn't teach as the other teachers of the day. He didn't teach a mere formal gospel, a formal doctrine. He didn't teach a mere social gospel. He spoke words that liberated people. He spoke words that set people free. He spoke words that caused sinners to become saints. He spoke words that absolutely and positively transformed people's lives and brought them into a new dimension of living. He spoke words that caused the sick to be healed. He spoke words that caused the deaf, the dumb, the blind, and the lame to be made whole. And you know, in this end-time generation in which we're living today, I believe that a lot of people are going to be astonished in the days that are yet to come. I believe that a lot of people are going to be astonished. I believe they're going to be astonished. Because you know what we have seen, I believe, is merely a preview of greater things that our God is going to do upon the face of this earth in this end-time generation in which we're living. And right here at Lake Hamilton, can you say praise God? Amen. Praise God. I don't think we've seen it all. Some people seem to think that the church is going to hobble out of this age-old crutches, spiritual crutches. I, for one, don't believe that. I believe she's going to be a victorious church. I believe that she's going to have twice the glory. Well, I believe he said something about that. Glory of the latter house. I believe that the church could be considered the latter house. I believe that she's going to have twice the glory. I believe that we're going to see a lot of great things that we haven't seen yet. And I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? Praise God. I haven't seen it all, but I'm sure looking to see some more. I've seen some wonderful things. I've seen a man who cut off his finger, sawed off his finger, a carpenter, saw the finger grow back. I've seen different things that have astounded me, absolutely astounded me, and I just thank God that he just let me be there when he did it. I didn't do it. He did it. And I was there and I saw it and thank God for it. I was in a meeting several years ago up in Westchester County, New York, and a medical doctor was emceeing this meeting. And this man who had been prayed for in New York years before that had the sawed-off finger, identified himself, let us know who he was, and he stood up and gave a testimony and showed the people his fingers. His index fingers were absolutely the same, fingernail and everything. God drew it back, creative miracle, by the supernatural power of the living God of heaven and earth. I believe God can do it, don't you? Amen? If God can't do it, I'll tell you it won't be done. If God can't do it, if God don't do it, it won't be done. But if we believe him, he'll do it because he said that he would do it, didn't he? Amen? Praise God. And in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, the scripture saith, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know, we should empty everything out of our hearts and lives, which is unlike the Lord. And we should have our hearts and lives filled with the Word of God in all of its richness, its wisdom, its knowledge, its purity, and its ability. And if our hearts and lives are filled with the Word of God in all of its wisdom, its knowledge, its richness, its power, and its ability, I'll tell you that's going to have an effect on our lives. That's going to have an effect on our lives. And we're going to be able to see things wrought which we haven't seen wrought. And not only that, but if our hearts and lives are filled with the Word of God in its richness, its wisdom, its knowledge, and its power, there should be an overflow. There should be an overflow that touches people with whom you come in contact from day to day. and time to time. There should be an overflow. And as this overflow touches the other person, it will help them. We're living in a needy world today. The world doesn't need to be pushed down. They need to be lifted up. And it's only the Word of God in the people of God that can lift other people up and have multiply the number of people that are praising God in this end time generation in which we're living.
Amen.
Amen. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And in the book of Philippians 2 and 16, the Scripture saith that we are to hold forth the Word of life. Now, as we hold forth the Word of life, there are many people out there that are going to see that Word as a beacon of light, and they're going to come to that light, they're going to come to that hope, they're going to take hope, whereas they did not have any hope. Did you know that there are a lot of people in the world today who do not know that there is any such thing as being saved and knowing, having the full assurance that you're saved? I used to be one of those people. There are a lot of people that don't know that there's any such a thing as being saved and knowing beyond the shadow of any doubt that you're saved. But as we hold forth the Word of truth, the Word of life, then there are those individuals who can come to the knowledge of salvation, and they can accept Jesus into their hearts and lives. There are a lot of people out there today in the world who do not know that God heals in this end-time generation in which we're living. A lot of people think that healing passed away with the days of the early church. But as we hold forth the Word of life, people who have been given up to die by medical science can receive hope. They can begin to reach out with hope. You know, some people think that the doctor's word is the last word. If the doctor says the condition is incurable, there's absolutely nothing that can be done, the individual just takes it as the last word, and they just give up, as it were, right at that time. They just give up. Well, if people know that God still heals today, regardless of who those individuals may be, what their denomination may be, what their church affiliation may be, or even if they don't have any church affiliation, they can begin to hope. And you know, hope is a great thing. Hope is a tremendous thing. And if a person doesn't have any hope, I'll tell you, that's a bad place to be in.
Amen.
That's a bad place to be when a person doesn't have any hope. So the Lord wants us to hold forth the Word of life. And in the book of Isaiah, well, in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 35th verse, Jesus was speaking, and the Scripture saith, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, Jesus declared that the time is going to come when the visible heavens and the visible earth, as we know them, shall pass away. But he said that his words should not pass away. And in the book of Isaiah 40:8, the Scripture saith, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever."
Amen.
We need something that we can stand upon. In this dark hour of human history in which we're living, we need something that we can believe in and be assured of and hope in and stand upon, and something that we can just know that it cannot possibly fail us in any way whatsoever.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's possible for the biggest and the best bank in Arkansas to go bankrupt. It's possible for medical science to be able to fail. But God's Word cannot possibly fail. It is eternal truth. You can believe in it. You can be assured of it. You can stand upon it. You can know that it just cannot possibly fail in any way whatsoever. If God said it, you can believe it readily. You can act upon it. You can know that it's God's Word. You can know that God's Word is truth. And you can know that God is faithful to do that which He has said that He would do. Praise God. Would you please tell Jesus that you love Him in your own way, from the bottom of your heart? Lord, we just praise You tonight. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You because You're here. Thank You for what You're going to do tonight. Thank you, Lord, for divine healings. Thank you for miracles of healing. Thank you for meeting dear people's needs. Thank you, Lord, for touching them. Lord, you know their situation. You know the problem. Thank you for touching them and delivering them, Lord, from that problem and making a way for them in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you please just bow your heads and close your eyes all over the congregation. Just bow your head and close your eyes, if you will, please. And while the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you're here tonight and you're not really sure, you're not really, really sure that all of your sins are truly forgiven and that you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're not sure that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you want to be sure. You want to get rid of the doubts. You want to know in your heart concerning your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. Or maybe you just feel that you need more assurance. Maybe you have accepted the Lord, but you feel that you need more assurance in your heart and in your life concerning your relationship with the Lord. If that is your case tonight, while the heads continue to be bowed and the eyes are closed, please, would you just raise your hand and let me know by your uplifted hand that you're not sure, you have doubts, you want to get rid of the doubts. God bless you. 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 You just want further assurance. God bless you. Way back in the back. Further assurance. You don't want to doubt. You want to get rid of every single doubt. The Lord doesn't want you to doubt. He wants you to know beyond the shadow of any doubt that all of your sins are truly forgiven and that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and that your feet are walking in that straight and narrow path. Right at this time, I would just like for those who have raised your hands and anyone who did not raise your hand, but you're sincere and you want to get rid of all of the doubts, you want further assurance, would you please just stand up right there where you are, wherever you may be. Stand up right there by the seat where you are seated, if you will, please. The Bible says that if we confess our sins to Jesus, that He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us that not a single one of us could be worthy to be saved within ourselves. Man's self-righteousness is as but filthy rags in the sight of God. It's by grace through faith. It's God's grace. It's unmerited favor with God. And it's our faith in God and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God raised up from the dead on the third day. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God hath raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I would just like for you to repeat a prayer after me, if you will, please. And don't just repeat it as a mere formal prayer, but really mean it. Really believe it with all of your heart. And as you do, those doubts are going to go out of your heart, and this wonderful assurance is going to be ushered into your heart by the precious Spirit of God. Now, I'm just going to ask that everyone, those seated as well as those standing, repeat the prayer, if you will, please. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that You're God's only begotten Son, and that You suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross. That my sins might be forgiven and that I might have eternal life. And Lord Jesus, I believe that You were raised up from the dead on the third day.
Lord Jesus, I believe that You were raised up from the dead on the third day.
that I might have the hope of being resurrected from the dead. And I confess my sins to Thee. Known sins or unknown sins. And I ask You to forgive me for my sins. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And become my very own personal Savior. Give me the full assurance that I'm a child of God. Cause me to know that I'm washed in Your blood. That I'm born of Your Spirit. That I'm saved by Your grace. And that I do have eternal life. And by Your helping grace, I will pray. And I will read the Word of God. And I will attend the house of God. And I will confess Jesus Christ to others as my personal Savior. Now, Lord Jesus, I have done that which Your Word has instructed me to do. And I believe that You're faithful to do that which You promised that You would do. I believe that You have heard my prayer. I believe that You have forgiven my sins. I believe that You have come into my heart and life. Because I accept You into my heart and life by faith. And I purpose to serve You every day of my life. By the helping grace of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now will you please praise Him and thank Him. He has heard your prayer. Don't doubt it for another moment. The more you praise Him and the more you thank Him, the more assurance will flow into your heart, into your life. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We give glory unto God. We magnify the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Lord of heaven and earth, praise the name of Jesus. Thank You for forgiving every sin. Thank You, Lord, for Thy transforming power. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for deliverance from every way that is unlike Thee. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your way, the straight way. Thank You for the holy way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you believe that He's heard our prayer? And if He's heard our prayer, don't you believe that He's done that which we've asked Him to do?
Amen.
Praise God. If you had doubts before, now the doubts have gone. Would you raise your hand? The doubts have gone. You have doubts, you're prone. Maybe just sometimes you have doubts, and the doubts are gone. Would you raise your hand?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, stand up, and let's praise God for taking the doubts away.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for taking the doubts away. Thank You for taking the doubts away. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for the full assurance. Thank You, Lord, of heaven and earth. Praise Your precious, wonderful name. We worship Thee. We praise Thee. Magnify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Isn't He wonderful?
Hallelujah.
I just thank the Lord that He's so real and He's so wonderful, and He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And things that you might not be able to tell anyone else, maybe you feel that no one else in the whole world would understand Jesus understands. You can take it to Him. Now we're going to begin praying for physical conditions tonight. And toward the conclusion of the meeting, we're going to have a general prayer as we usually do. We certainly will not be praying for everyone personally and individually here in this meeting tonight. If we did, we might be here in the morning when the service starts, or breakfast time in the morning. But many times, many people, in fact, some of the greatest healings and miracles that I have personally seen have been during the general prayer in some of our meetings. I was in a meeting in Germany, and a young man stood up who had a short leg. And while he was standing there in the general prayer, his short leg just grew out to become the same length as the other leg. And we've seen people healed of blindness. And one time I was in a meeting in El Paso. There was a lady kept raising her hand. She wanted to be prayed for, but she wasn't ever prayed for personally and individually. But after the general prayer, she gave a testimony. She'd had cataracts. That was what she wanted prayer for. But when she stood up in the general prayer, the cataracts melted, and as something began to run down her cheeks, and when she looked up, she could see clearly. And we have seen people have teeth filled in the general prayer. People grow new teeth, and just different kinds of healings and miracles, which I could mention, but won't take up the time to tonight. But right at first, I just wonder, how many people are here who are suffering? Well, the Lord just spoke to me as I was about to ask this question. He spoke to me concerning someone here who has a migraine headache condition. And the Lord wants to heal you. This migraine headache condition. Who is that person? I'd like to pray for you right at this time. Would you just like to come down to the front? I like to usually pray for some people who are suffering with pain at first. And that's what I was going to ask for, how many people are in pain. And the Lord spoke to me concerning the migraine condition, headache condition. And how long have you had that, brother? 35 years. Are you suffering with it tonight? How long have you had it this time? How long have you been suffering this time? He's had this condition for about 35 years. And he's been suffering with this particular migraine headache since this morning. And Jesus is going to heal him tonight. And I'm so glad that the Lord did make that known to me, because he wanted to just heal him by the power of God. Father, God of heaven and earth, I just thank you, Lord, because you truly are the God of all flesh. You're the God of all creation. Your name is wonderful. There is none other like unto thee. And Father, I just thank you that somehow by the Spirit of God you caused me to know that there was a person here with this condition. And I thank you, Father, for healing him of this migraine headache condition, healing him completely of this migraine headache condition which he's had for these many years, taking away the migraine headache condition now and healing him so that he shall not have this condition anymore. And in the omnipotent name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name, I rebuke the migraine headache condition. I take authority over it in Jesus' name. I command it to leave him by the authority and by the power of the living Word of God in Jesus Christ's omnipotent name. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing it. 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 Thank you for doing it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for doing it in the name of Jesus. For the glory of God and the praise of God. We just worship your name and praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank God. Has it gone, brother?
It's gone.
It's gone. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's so wonderful, isn't he? Jesus is so wonderful.
Hallelujah.
thank God that He first loved us. And His concern for us never ceases.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I was going to ask before, how many people are here who are suffering with pain in your body right at the present time? You're just suffering with pain right now. What are you suffering with? A headache? What about the lady here? Legs are aching? Let's pray for you right now since you have a headache. We just pray for a headache. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just heal him completely, this headache. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you. Praise.
Praise your Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Has it gone?
Praise you, Jesus.
It's gone. Right, someone back here, you're suffering with pain. Suffering with pain. What about the lady right here? Yes, what are you suffering with? Shoulders, back, and tailbone. Someone else over here. Gentleman right here. Yes, right here. Pain in the leg. All right. Why don't you come forward right at this time? The lady here with a shoulder, back, and tailbone condition. And what is your condition? In the legs. What causes that pain, do you know? Your back causes the pain. And what causes the pain in your leg, which is swollen?
I'm not sure, but I've been operated on for arthritis in the hips. And it's left away from that.
When did you have the operation in the hips? In the hips?
A little over 2 months ago.
An operation on the hips for arthritis. And since that time, he's been having this pain. And do you have pain any place other than your leg?
This leg and this ankle.
Why don't you just come up on the platform, if you will, please. Just have a seat and sit all the way back, and let's just check and see if your legs are even. Just relax your legs. Just relax. Did you know that your left leg was short? What caused it to be short? The operation.
Yeah. It was that way after I had the first one.
It appears to be at least 2 inches short. At least 2 inches short, which resulted from the operation, the hip operation. Let's believe together. Let's just believe Jesus to heal this gentleman completely, deliver him from every effect of arthritis, heal his hips, lengthen his left leg. Something's already happening. Something's already happening. Something's already happening. Something's already happening. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing him, this arthritic condition. Thank you for healing his legs, healing his hip, healing his hips. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity called arthritis. I command the spirit of infirmity called arthritis to come out of his hips and come out of his legs and come out of his body in Jesus' name. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just stand up if you will, please, and check it. Did the pain go? Something happened before we ever prayed, didn't it? You felt that, didn't you? Because your short leg grew out before we ever began to pray. But that's all right, wasn't it? Because Jesus is the one who does it anyway, isn't he?
I knew it would.
You knew it would. See how good you can walk going back. Let every step be a step of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come up and get up. Where are you suffering right now? All three of those places?
Yeah, I have little nodules in my elbow muscles. I had 2 back surgeries. And my tailbone is an inch and a quarter too long.
You said 2 surgeries, has little nodules
on all my muscles in my back and legs and hips.
Shoulders, the muscles are drawn, and the tailbone is an inch and a quarter too long. That arm is short too, isn't it? Did you know that? Just come right up on the platform, if you will, please. Let's believe Jesus to heal this lady tonight.
Yes, Lord.
to remove the nodules, heal the shoulders, heal the back, and her left arm is short. Dear Lord Jesus, even though we cannot see you tonight with our physical eyes, we know that your great divine presence is right here. Because you said that you would be in the midst of them where as few as two or three should be gathered together in your name. I ask you to touch this lady. I ask you, Lord, to heal her shoulders. I ask you to heal her back. I ask you to heal the nerves, heal the muscles. Take away the nodules. In the name of Jesus, by the power of God, make her whole. Lord, cause this arm to become the same length as the other arm. In Jesus' name, thank you for doing it. Jesus Christ's omnipotent name, by the power. And Father, heal her sinuses in the name of Jesus. Heal her sinuses, Lord, I pray. Heal the sinuses, Lord, by the power of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Just have a seat here, if you will, please. Just sit all the way back in the chair. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask you to create normality in that tailbone, which the doctor has said is an inch and a quarter too long. You know what to do, and I just ask you, Lord, to create normality in that tailbone and take away all of the pain from this lady's body. Heal her completely and take away all of the pain in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing it. Amen. Amen. Jesus' name. Has it gone? She feels good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give Jesus all the praise. Just praise Him for it. That's a lady right here. Back trouble and leg trouble. Your legs cause your back to hurt. Is that it? Abnormal vertebrae in the spine?
Yeah, they just didn't grow. So I had to wear a brace for a year and a half until they grew up. And then my spine was abnormally fused.
What part? Around the mid part of your body?
Right here. And I've just always had spine problems. I used to go to a chiropractor and he could never get it in place in here. And then I developed osteoporosis down in the hip.
A whiplash in the neck 20 years ago. Let's believe Jesus to heal the vertebrae condition in her spine. Heal the whiplash condition. Cause normality to come about in this back. Father, I thank you. Yes, thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for a miracle of God in her back in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you for healing her completely and taking away all the pain. Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father, for healing this back completely, causing the vertebrae, disc to become perfectly normal in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Try to do something that you couldn't do before without it bothering you.
Sit.
Try it.
How does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt.
No. No. It's such an abnormal pulling, deadly.
And the pulling on the legs is gone.
Yeah.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
Praise God. Don't you love Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your name is wonderful, Lord. Name is wonderful.
This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.